learning to persevere in prayer. Anyone want to try to give a definition of persevere? And really, this matter of persevere, I'll probably speak this word 100 times. This is the burden. Persevere. So let's start with a definition. Just take your best shot. Gloria, are you in here? She usually tries to define. Try really hard. Whoa, awesome. Okay, continue. Continue in the face. I don't know if Jeremy was cheating or what, but that's almost exactly what the dictionary says. Maybe you just know words. Persevere is continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. He even had the face of adversity. To continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. Another definition, continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulty. So I like this word, obstinately. Put it here. And this is actually in Luke 18. There's a story about a widow who's going to this unrighteous judge. And that's her. She's obstinate. Saints, we need to persevere in prayer. And we need to learn to persevere in prayer. And this is a training. So we get to talk about it. I want to read this quote from the Life Study of Colossians. Why don't we, before I do that, let's all read Colossians 4:2 together. It's a very short verse. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Brothers, we read it. Persevere in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving. Okay, sisters? Amen. Amen. In the life study of Colossians, this matter of prayer is connected to preserving the grace that we have received. So the prayer in Colossians 4 is a means by which we can preserve what we have received. Another word that's used is maintain what we've received. Another word that's used in the life study is sustain what we have received. So it's no doubt in this training, in all the meetings, or in any gathering where the word is being ministered, isn't there a lot being poured out? Right? Are you receiving? Amen. Did you receive something yesterday? Amen. Did you receive something the day before? Amen. Okay. How will we maintain? How will we sustain? How will we preserve what we have received? Prayer. Prayer is the way. So, nobody likes that roller coaster ride of experiencing so much, seeing so much, being rained on so much, and then it just seems like it's not sustainable. Well, the ministry brings out that prayer, persevering in prayer, is a way to sustain and maintain. Listen to this quote. So in Colossians, eventually we shall see that we in Christ are one, that His peace is arbitrating within us, and that His word is filling us. Have you seen this? Yes. Did you see it? Is His peace arbitrating within you? Is His word filling you? Amen. However, no matter how much grace we receive from the Lord, it will leak away if we fail to persevere in prayer. Only prayer can maintain the grace we receive. Only through prayer can this grace become prevailing and living in our experience. To be sure, the Christian life is a life of receiving grace, But this life needs to be sustained by prayer. Amen. So the burden this morning is not so much on the sustaining and the maintaining. It's more on this matter of persevering. To persevere. Why does Paul say, persevere in prayer? It implies something about prayer. Difficulty was the other word in the other definition. Is prayer difficult? Paul doesn't say, enjoy the prayer. Or he doesn't even say, enter into the prayer. He says, persevere in prayer. There's a strong implication that prayer is difficult. Is this right or wrong? Prayer is very difficult. Well, why is it so difficult? If prayer helps me maintain and sustain the grace that I've received, why wouldn't I just do it, Matt? Why won't we just pray more? Why don't we have a prayer life where we're persevering in prayer or just entering into prayer? Why can't Paul just say, Colossians, pray a lot? He says, persevere. Why is it this way? It's because there's a devil. It's because there's an enemy. And when the saints pray, his kingdom suffers loss. And this enemy is around us in the environment, and he's also within us. And what he hates more than anything is when the saints pray. So I just have to paint this picture this morning so that you wouldn't be shocked when prayer is difficult. Prayer is really hard, but we have to persevere. That's what the word means. If someone said, I'm going to try to sleep more in the morning. Jonah says, I'm going to sleep 30 minutes longer. I'm trying to work this out in my life. I say, persevere, brother. There's no difficulty. I'm trying to raise my cholesterol. Persevere, brother. We're standing with you. It's ridiculous. Persevere in prayer. I'm trying to lower my GPA. Persevere, brother. No. These things are very difficult. Difficulty. So we have to persevere. To live Christ, well, Roman number 1 says, a life of being one with Christ and allowing His peace to arbitrate within us and letting His Word dwell in us richly so that we can live Him out and express Him is sustained by our persevering in prayer. I already covered that. How about, brothers, you read A and 1. Amen. 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 In an atmosphere of prayer. Amen. We want to build up this atmosphere of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, unceasingly pray. 2 says, we remain in an atmosphere of prayer by continually exercising our spirit and keeping ourselves intimately connected to the Lord. Exercising our spirit. Even in the smallest details, we need to inquire of the Lord. To do this is to persevere in prayer and thereby to live Christ. So 1 Timothy 4:7 talks about exercising yourself unto godliness. And Ephesians 6:18 says praying in spirit. So you put these verses together, you have the exercise of the spirit to pray. Amen. 4. As soon as we stop praying, we stop living Christ. Can you believe that? Only in an atmosphere of prayer is it possible to live Christ. Okay, I think I'm not trying to make the point that prayer matters or prayer is important. We're pretty sold on this, right? We know that prayer is necessary. But the burden this morning is this matter of persevering and the difficulty. So how about we all read B together? Amen. Persevering in prayer, you all fill in the blank, is to, okay, that was just really weak. Persevering in prayer is to, sisters, persevering in prayer is to, brothers, persevering in prayer is to, prayer is to, that's right, prayer is to fight. Ephesians 6 says, put on the armor of God, the whole armor, that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. Our wrestling. Now, no one physically wrestles against the devil or against these rulers. Does that happen in the church life, in meetings, that things come into the windows? And that doesn't happen. That's not what this is about. But there is a wrestling. What is it? Prayer is to fight. Prayer is to wrestle. That's the wrestling. So you have to be aware of this. There's this kind of war. There's this struggle. There are things going on all the time opposing your prayers. Our wrestling. Amen. Our wrestling. Are you a wrestler? Actually, we're a corporate wrestler. Prayer involves a battle, a fight. I'm quoting from the Life Study again. Two parties are hostile to each other, God and Satan. Okay. Well, if you're aware of this scenery, of this battle, of these two parties, then maybe now you can understand something about difficulty and adversity. Sometimes I wonder if the saints that I'm with and the ones I take care of, if they realize that we are in a war. Did you know we're in a war? And how do you fight the war? Prayer. But how do you interpret your own feeling about prayer? How do you interpret it? How do you interpret it, Nathan, when you just don't want to pray? How should we interpret that? It's a lie from the enemy. That's right. But often, I mean, in this context, of course you're going to say that. But a lot of the time, how do we interpret it? Maybe we don't interpret it. But how do you react to that feeling? How do you react to it? What does it mean when I don't want to pray? Does it mean there's no need to pray? Does it mean the war is over? Does it mean this Holy Spirit is not leading me to pray, even though the Holy Spirit wrote the words unceasingly pray? What does it mean when we don't want to pray? What does it mean? How do you interpret that? That sense. That silence. It's not the time to pray. Not right now. Let's just fellowship some more. Let's talk some more. I was taking care of a brother. I was with a brother who was a student at Emory. He was in my apartment a long time ago, 8 years ago, when I first started serving. And we were talking, and I said, you know, John, I've never wanted to pray, not once in my whole life. And he said, he was a freshman at Emory, and he said, that's the most helpful thing you've ever said to me. He said, really? I said, yeah, never wanted to pray. Who wants to pray? Is there something in you that naturally is praying? Every time we pray, we're going against even something within us. Even you're with some brothers and you're talking, and all of a sudden one of them, praise the Lord, takes the lead to pray. Don't you have that? Just it happens in a flash, just a little resentment, like, oh, what are you doing? You know? But then we're quick. We realize, oh, no, we should pray. And then you realize, oh, I wish I'd been the one to start praying. Well, anyway, someone did. You know, all this happens. And just, you know, hopefully. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that saint. Right? We should all be that saint. What if you never feel like praying ever again? Think that won't happen? I know that in a meeting where we're singing that hymn, it's almost impossible not to enter in, right? But that is not an example of persevere in prayer. That's you enter into the prayer. You enter into something. So you have to make the distinction. It's one thing to come into an environment where there's prayer, and then you pray, but that's not this. That means someone else did this. To persevere is like to row the boat upstream. Somebody got in that boat and is rowing that boat upstream. The stream is the entire current of the world. It's the demonic atmosphere. It's the flesh that we carry with us everywhere. It's our natural man. And that stream is a torrent rushing away from prayer and away from God. But someone, some saints are rowing that boat upstream. No matter how they feel. No matter how their day is. So you can come into a meeting that's filled with prayer. There was an atmosphere of prayer. Well, of course we would pray. I mean, but in a sense, you're just jumping into the boat. But I hope this training can help you enter in to persevering in prayer. Everybody loves a boat ride. Who's going to row the boat? Who doesn't love to ride a boat upstream? Cool. But who's going to row the boat? As those who take sides with God, we find that the whole fallen universe is against us, and in particular, against our prayer. Resistance to prayer lies not only outside of us, but even within us. Amen, brothers and sisters. Do you realize how much the Lord's recovery needs this kind of person? How much God needs those who persevere in prayer? So I don't know what you think as a 20-year-old or a 22-year-old. What does it mean to stand for the Lord, to be faithful, to be strong for the Lord's recovery, even to die? I would die for the Lord's recovery. Good. I don't know what you think, though. What does that mean? When I was 19, I'll expose Emmanuel Yao a little bit because he'll be here tomorrow. He and I were kind of the same age, and there was a conference. Brother Lee came to town in Atlanta, and Emmanuel was there on the camera filming Brother Lee. And there was this brother who was there, kind of a new one, and he was kind of mentally ill. And he's like, I got to see Witness Lee. And he was kind of a threat. And he was kind of roving around the hotel, you know, where we all were. And so some fellowship with him, and they just felt like, no, you probably shouldn't see Witness Lee. He needs to take care of this conference. Okay, so Emmanuel and I would talk about, you know, Emmanuel's like, I'm on camera. And we had the kind of this fantasy that this guy would bust into the meeting and like, And he'd be running down that big aisle, you know, and then like Emmanuel or me, you know, would just be like, you know, you know, all clear, all clear. Keep your seats, you know. That's really sick. Anyway, that's what we think. That's how we're going to fight for the Lord's recovery. Who's next? No. Well, okay. You know, or maybe your thoughts are more, you know, you have a desire to be rich, and so you just, well, I'll just be rich for the Lord's recovery. Okay. Well, to talk about how the flesh enters into our desires to serve the Lord is beyond the scope of this meeting. But I want to make the point that if you want to stand for the Lord's recovery and die for the Lord's recovery, the way is to persevere in prayer. Not just to pray, but to persevere in prayer. To be a person, and this isn't an individual matter so much, to be with some who will get into a boat and row it upstream. Row it upstream. You come into a gathering, whether it's twos and threes, whether it's a smaller group, whether it's a big meeting, the atmosphere is just kind of low. What is your reaction? What is your feeling? Sometimes I feel like the brothers and the sisters are, they're just like, you know, someone's shooting at me. Someone's shooting at me. It's like, no kidding. This is war. Shoot back. I've been shooting back, you know. Pick up your gun and shoot back. Learn the art of war. So be no longer little children. Learn the art of war. Today in the, we were praying earlier, it was in the singing, you know, Vern prayed something, three sentences. Then I followed him. Then Sam prayed. Then Svetlana prayed. Each time, the person who prayed next took the last sentence from the person before. You know what I mean? One phrase, and then I took Vern's phrase, and then Sam, and then Micah. I was so happy. I said, we're trained in the art of war. And then Mark prayed and did the exact same thing. And then Lauren prayed. And she did the exact same thing. And we were just following each other during the prayer. I was so happy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't say someone is shooting at me. That will never stop. You will never coast into prayer. That's like saying, there's so much air in here. That's right. The air will never be gone. There will always be resistance. It will always seem a little bit inappropriate. It will always seem better to talk more about the Lord than to just pray. It'll seem better to psychoanalyze someone's condition and try to decide exactly what should be said to them than to just pray for them. Learn to persevere in prayer. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Well, just to follow in the same burden, two words, persevering and warfare, or fight, or battle. But you need some handles. You got. I went to Ghana last winter, and saints just loaded me with stuff to bring over to those saints in Ghana. I was in Amsterdam with two huge carry-ons, and I must have had 50 or 60 pounds of Bibles in my hands. And you switch it from one hand, and then you switch it to the other hand, and you're trying to make your gait. And if I didn't have good sturdy handles, one of them had good handles. The other one was just a rope. So my hand, after the trip, was just raw on both sides. But you've got to move. You have to move this big, heavy weight, and you need handles. How do you pick it up? We all need to pray, right? Who has a big amen in them about our need to pray?
Amen.
Amen. But we want to give you some practical handles. What do you? How do I fight? What are the signals that I need to pick up on? So how about, let's have the brothers read Roman numeral 2. Go. Right. You need a handle. You need the way. And I really, amen, Phil sharing. Who, not just among Christians, but even in the Lord's recovery, carries with them the realization in their daily life that I'm in the front line in a war. I think if, you know, we're involved in two wars in this country right now. Right, outward wars with military and we're killing people. Who thinks about that? Does that affect your daily life at all? What have you gone without to supply the troops on the front? You know, my mom remembers running for the ditches. She lived in Taiwan, and she can remember air raids and fighter airplanes, and their whole lives were different during World War II. And Dad remembers going without. But who has the thought that we are in a war? But when you have this, when you have this realization, it will affect your daily life. It'll affect how you live. And your being in the Lord's recovery, you're taking this way. You know we're different? We are Christians. Praise the Lord, we're Christians. Christians are one, are those that have been the recipients of God's grace and have their need taken care of for eternity. But the Lord's recovery is here to take care of the Lord's need. That's different. And we are in this war. So here's some handles for you. Sisters, read A. Go. This point really jumped out at me. The verse here is Daniel 6:10. Daniel heard this decree that that anyone praying to anything other than Nebuchadnezzar's image would be dealt with very severely. And so his inward response to this, the word records, is it's cause and effect. So he got on his knees, opened his windows, and prayed toward Jerusalem, as had always been his custom. He was like, don't you pray, don't you pray. He got the news, so he prayed. That was the response in his being. This was something that the word records, it was his custom to do this. And to reinforce the word persevere, I would like to give you the word habit. This is your first handle. Habit. And it takes a while to build up a habit. What do the psychologists say? It takes 30 days, right? To build up a habit. But Daniel had this custom. Later in chapter 10, boy, Daniel, when you read the book of Daniel, you see he prays. In chapter 9, his prayer is, it's recorded verbatim. One of his prayers is recorded. And it's filled with, oh God, oh Lord, oh God. He was a caller. The next chapter, he gets an answer. The angel comes to him and says, from the minute you started praying 21 days ago, the answer was sent. Your prayers were heard and the answer was sent. But I was resisted by the prince of Persia. There was a battle. There was an unseen battle in the air for 3 weeks. And Daniel didn't see it, but he prayed. If Daniel had gone 19 days or 20 days, the battle will have raged, and perhaps he wouldn't have gotten his answer, and the Lord knows. But Daniel was fighting. Daniel was fighting. And there was a habit. So to go along with this word, persevere, is the word habit. And the thing is, with habits, good habits are hard to, it just takes a while to develop a good habit. Conversely, bad habits are difficult to break. But you can break them. A friend of mine just said they quit smoking recently. That's great. Quit smoking. Well, on the positive side, prayer is a habit. And you have to expect, saints, well, don't be surprised if you fail. You'll be stirred up. I'm going to pray. I will be Daniel. I will have a habit of praying, open my windows, and face Jerusalem. And anyway, we've all done this. And especially with prayer. Nothing is harder than praying. I would rather read the Bible than pray. But this is the way to fight in the Lord's recovery. Another handle I would give you here. It says you should first make a deal with the Lord and even make a vow. I amen this. But I would say this way. When you do this, realize it's the Lord. It's still the Lord. Okay? It doesn't matter how much you say you will do this or you will do that. You open in a humble way before the Lord with earnestness. Lord Jesus, O Lord, give me a strong, put in me a desire, and then strengthen it to carry it out in me, Lord. I want to make a deal with you. Now I realize in this deal, one party is fully capable of carrying out the deal and the other party can't do it. Lord, I open to you. Strengthen me to pray. You speak to him this way. Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm making a deal with you. Strengthen me to pray, to build up a habit of prayer. Okay, brothers, B, go.
We need to set aside definite time for prayer. Our attitude should be that prayer is our most important thing, and that nothing should be allowed to interfere with it.
Both of these verses talk about Peter being in prison. One of the times he was in prison, and when he was there, the saints were praying. Fervent prayer was being made for Peter. Even when he showed up and knocked on the door, they didn't believe that their prayers were answered. But they were praying. They were praying. You just pray. You just pray. Don't worry about the answer. You pray. You pray. You pray. You fight. You pray. If you have some view, I like the example that Phil gave. This happened to me in college. Four brothers in a car. I'm driving. And we're talking nonsense. As college brothers do often. And it began to be, there's a line in your spirit that you know is sacrosanct. That if you cross it, you've made God mad. And I could tell we were inching toward this line. I was driving down the drag, Vern. I had four brothers in the car. And I think we were criticizing somebody. Anyway, deep in my being was a realization, somebody needs to pray. Somebody needs to turn this thing and pray. Somebody has to pray. And you know, I think every brother in the car had that thought. Somebody needs to pray. That, thank the Lord, even to have that thought is good. To have some sensitivity about that. You have the thought. We're fighting. Other people can talk blah, 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 whatever. We're in a war. We know there's a war going on. So I don't think it was me, but somebody started to pray in the car. And the whole thing turned. I would say not only the one that starts to pray, the very next one is very important. You have four people praying. So Jeremy prays, "Oh Lord, forgive us. We shouldn't talk about Matt like that." Nobody else follows. Right? That's, you had one soldier jump over the barbed wire into no man's land running. Right? And the other three are, you know. The next most important one is the one that would say, "Yes, Lord, amen. But we stand with our brother. He has all kinds of things against him. We would not be those to add to that. Lord Jesus," that's right, "Lord Jesus," then the other two. But, and this is the next handle in this point I wanted to give you. Not only the matter of definite times, habit happens with definite times. The other thing is, have a partner. Have somebody that has the same view and the same burden as you. The brother I lived with the first 2 years in school at UT, he and I were friends in Houston. We grew up in the church life together. And we just fooled around, and we went fishing a lot. And I think I can remember watching some rotten movies with him we shouldn't have watched. And something happened in college where we weren't just buddies that hung out together, but I remember praying with him in school when I was a freshman in school, freshman and sophomore. We began to pray, and he would groggy come to my room in the morning, or I would go to his room in the morning, and we would sit down, and we would pray together. It makes the world of difference. At least half of the time, I wouldn't have got up if it wasn't for this brother. Enter into, not only do you make a deal with the Lord, you enter into a covenant with someone else. "Brother, will you pray with me? Will you stand with me, sister, in this burden that I have, to be absolute for the Lord's interests? To be someone that fights the real kind of fighting. I don't want to be in a fog, a clueless person in the fog." Right? When you sit in the meeting, are you waiting? It's yours. You put it on your shoulders. Okay? All right, brothers, one and two, go. Right. We should go to God alone without any persons, matters, or things distract or occupy us. This is the other side of the coin. Matthew 6:6 says, I think this is what this verse says, "But you, when you go pray, you go into your private room and you shut the door. And your Father who sees you, who sees in secret, will repay you." This is the other side. And what a glory to have a habit of this kind of prayer, closet prayer. I'll give you another handle here. Don't start out praying an hour and a half each time. You get here in this position, and you might be asleep in like 10 or 15 minutes. All right? Be realistic, okay? But you just come to the Lord and you open to Him. You just speak to Him. "Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to be with you. Lord, I just open. Teach me how to be with you. Lord Jesus, Lord, I love you. I give myself to you. Teach me how to pray, Lord. Lord, be with me right now. I know you're with me, but I want you with me more. Lord Jesus, what do I do?" You just open like this. You just talk to the Lord. Amen. There's not the time, but on one, just underline, take the time. Take the time. At the very end of Genesis chapter 18, Abraham has this long time with the Lord. The Lord comes, there's guests, there's food, it's really wonderful, there's fellowship, there's a promise, there's laughter. It's a wonderful time. And then the Lord, he has to go. So he and the other two with him, they begin to walk off. Abraham goes with them. The whole point of this whole contact, at least in some consideration, is for this next conversation to take place. To fight! Fighting prayer for Lot. The other two angels go on their way to do their thing, and Abraham is there. Lord, would you wipe out a city if there's 50 righteous people in there? And you'd wipe out a whole city. Okay, if there's 50, I won't do it. 45, no. 35, no. 30. He backs them down all the way down to like what? 20? 10? Oh my goodness. And then the end of that chapter ends this way. When Jehovah was finished speaking, then Abraham went back. Something like that. Abraham went on his way, or Abraham went home. When Jehovah was finished, we just live by the clock. We're creatures of the clock. I'm looking at the clock right now. This is different. Y'all need time to share. But what about when we're with the Lord? I got to go, Lord. You may have more to say, but I'll catch you next time. There is a threshold that you have to learn to be sensitive to. When you pray, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. Man, this doesn't work, Benjamin. Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. There's a line. There's a water line. You've got to keep digging until you get to it. It's there in meetings. It's there when you're with the brothers. It's there when you're by yourself. Lord Jesus! Lord! Then you get through. And you just stay there for a while. You just stay there. Okay, Lord. I will just linger here. Okay? But we need to take the time to enjoy the Lord. Me too. All of us on C. Go. To have more time for prayer. Yeah. This is another message, just this point. The verses are redeeming the time. Redeem the time. Redeem it. Redeem it. You got to buy it back. Time is money. Time really, literally is money. It's all you've got. You don't have money. You don't have clothes. You don't have possessions. You don't have anything. All you've got is, and you don't even know how much of it you've got, but all you've got is time, and you're spending a finite amount, and you carve it. You carve it. It doesn't matter how busy you are. If you really like something, it'll work out. There'll be time for, you may have to TiVo it or something, but, you know, I don't have a TV. If I had one, I'd be sunk. I would be sunk. I told my wife my first year of our marriage, no TV. Let's just try it. Have mercy. Let's just try it. We tried it. It was great. But every 4 years, when I need to watch something, then I go somewhere else. Okay? But if you love something, the time is there. You just need to carve it out. You need to buy that time, redeem it. And what you need to redeem the time for, it's not World Cup, by the way. I have no interest in that. I don't care. I don't care about that. But you have to buy the time in order to pray. In order to pray. And there's a whole message here. What damages our praying spirit? What weakens us? Do you take care of your conscience? What kind of a wedge, what kind of an entrance does the world have into your inward being? That damages our praying spirit. Setting aside definite times, this and that. Saints, anyway, I hope you have some handles. There just isn't the time. But persevere. Persevere. Don't worry when you fail. What does the righteous man do? He rises up. Even if he falls down a bunch of times, he still rises up. You persevere because we are fighting. We're fighting in the face of serious, serious adversity. It's serious. You're the front line, saints. It's not somebody else. It is the ones in this room. Now's the time to learn to persevere in prayer. Amen.